Welcome to Positively Autistic, Autism, God's Bright Kids. Here on this radio show, you will find encouragement in the midst of the challenge of autism. We will share stories of how God works in the midst of those affected by autism, as well as how He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Because there is hope, there is life, there is love, even and especially in the midst of autism. And here is your host, Dana Susan Beasley.
I am your host, Dana Susan Beasley, and welcome to Autism, God's Bright Kids. It's Monday, December 16th, and I'm recording this show from my home in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where winter has definitely set in. And today, I have some really exciting news. I have my nephew here with me, and his lovely wife also is standing by. And so, my nephew, Nathan Creed, is going to talk about some very important ideas about independence, and kind of from his own perspective. And just to let you know, my nephew is the one who did the recording, the intro recordings, and he's been on the show like a year or two ago. He used to live with us. So, welcome, Nathan.
Hi, thank you, Dana.
And introduce your wife.
This is my wife, Jaden.
Hi.
So, we're all here as our little group in the office, even with the dog, curled up on a Sunday afternoon, preparing the show for you on a snowy Sunday afternoon.
It's cold, all
right. Yeah, right. So, Nathan, tell us a little bit about your background and your journey in the last couple of years, especially.
Well, definitely in the last couple of years, my life has made major progress, and I'm happy to announce that, of course, as you know, my wife Jaden is here. We got married last year on October 8th. It was a very nice medium wedding at the country club, and I actually have been with Jaden for about 2 years now, and I actually met Jaden the week I got back from living with Dana. Yeah. Like the week I returned back to Albuquerque, I met Jaden, and then here we are 2 years later, and Jaden and I are actually hopefully going to move up here back in Colorado Springs again.
God willing.
God willing, definitely.
And you have some things to do. We've talked about this a lot.
Yeah, that opens up the beginning of talking about kind of my past and different things like that. In my background is that for most of my life, before I became a Christian, I was very lost in life. I struggled very much defining and figuring out who I was as a person. And what it was that I really believed, and what did I want to strive for in my life. And for a long time, I went to really dark areas. I'm not going to go into too many details, but definitely they were very eccentric, dark places that no one should ever go into.
And tell them what your diagnosis is.
My diagnosis is I am class 3 schizophrenic, where I suffer from visual and audible hallucinations, as well as mass paranoia. However, I am on a medication that I get as an injection.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about this.
Cool.
Autism. We hear about it more and more. To families and individuals, it can be devastatingly hard. What can we do to help? And if you are affected by autism, how can you find hope? Hi, I'm Dana Susan Beasley, and I am the publisher of an upcoming book, Angels in the Midst, Rising Above Autism and Asperger's. I understand about autism as my son and husband have Asperger's. It is challenging. But I also know that God can work in the midst of these challenges. God can use ordinary people to bring hope to those facing this challenge. But I need your help. I need your stories, your artwork, poetry, and videos, especially from autistic children. I need sponsors, and I am looking for worthy organizations to donate a portion of the proceeds to. Come along with me on this journey. Join me and get involved at riseaboveautistic.com. Again, riseaboveautistic.com. There is hope, there is life, and there is love, even and especially in the midst of autism.
Welcome back. This is Dana Susan Beasley, and you're listening to Autism, God's Great Kids, and my nephew is with me. He's visiting for a few weeks, and like you were saying, he's schizophrenic. And before you go on, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you, but tell us why schizophrenia and Asperger's are kind of have the same, some of the same characteristics, some similarities.
Well, I know that definitely for people with autism, one of the main things that they have as part of who they are is that they are extremely gifted as far as being able to focus on a single or possibly multiple things in very high, great detail. And most people with autism are actually very gifted with working with their hands or drawing or music. And it's because of the fact that they can hone in and tone in on those one specific things and, you know, have all their focus on that one thing that will develop their skills. And so in major ways it frustrates me because a lot of people call autism a disability or a handicap.
Oh, yeah. That frustrates me. You know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely. And in many cases, I would completely disagree with that term as far as what you would call autism. Yes, there are some parts of autism that might be associated with being mentally ill or having a disability, but in my opinion, in many ways, people with autism, they're just like every other person. They just see the world in a much different way than your average person, or whatever you want to call average.
whatever neurotypical
exactly.
is, right?
Exactly. whatever society, the majority of society deem those with autism in a very negative light.
Because
they tend to see that they lack certain types of social skills.
Right.
But in actuality, just as with Sam, your son, it's not that he's antisocial or anything. He just doesn't communicate the same way as other people. He's
right.
more about action and about actually doing things and stuff to get his point across than actually using verbal communication.
So how is schizophrenia kind of like that?
Schizophrenia is a little bit like that in several ways. Number one is the way that you hone in on one thing at a time and stuff. However, with schizophrenia, instead of it most of the time being a positive thing,
It's an obsession,
and it's something that will drive the person with schizophrenia into very dangerous waters, so to speak.
Yeah.
Dangerous obsessions, dangerous thoughts, some thoughts of being invincible, different kinds of ideas that normally no one should have about, you know, like doing something reckless or something. And just saying, hey, I want to do this for the thrill. And it's just a random thought that comes out of nowhere, and you obsess on it. The other thing that is like autism with schizophrenia as well is that lots of people with schizophrenia don't use a lot of verbal communication. Those who don't have it treated in the right way, or those who don't even know they have it. It's very true that a mass majority of people in the U.S. alone actually have a form of schizophrenia, and they've never known it, they've never been diagnosed, but there are many, many characteristic traits that come from schizophrenia itself, and people don't ever know it until either years later or in many cases never at all.
I mean, usually it's with the teen years. This is the hardest up until age 30.
Exactly.
From what I understand.
From the age of like 17 or 18 to about age 25, within that window is normally when schizophrenia manifests itself, which is how it happened in my case.
Right.
Now, I've had schizophrenia for a long time. Since I was 8 was when I first started showing the major symptoms. And at first, we didn't know how to approach it. My parents had no idea what was going on. They were very unlearned in the area of mental illness.
As most people are.
Exactly. Most people who've never had to deal with raising a child with some kind of mental thing, they don't know how to combat it. And so that's one thing I'm very grateful for my parents for, is that they were willing to learn and go to countless classes and read countless books and go online and learn everything they could about it so they could find the right medical care for me. And so then we eventually came to the point years later where now I'm on a monthly injection and I function as just like everyone else, if not better. I'm a high-functioning schizophrenic. I've been told by many people that I am great with writing, and I have a lot of acting experience, and things like that. In many ways, one thing I definitely want to mention out there, for any of you who are listening that have schizophrenia or autism or anything like that, don't stick in to tell yourself what everyone else is telling you is you are a label. You are not a label. You are not schizophrenic. You are not Asperger's. Whatever the case may be, that is not what defines you. That is not what makes you who you are. Yeah, exactly. It's not what makes you the person who you are. It's just a little trait about you. But it's not who you are.
It's the way you handle it.
Exactly. And the fact is that who you are is a very broad topic that could go on forever.
Oh,
I'll give you some of my personal highlights of what I believe it takes to really know who you are yourself. For me personally, one of the big things that helped me develop my sense of self was knowing what did I truly believe in as morals. What do I believe is the best way to treat people? And what do I believe is how people should treat me? The golden rule. Treat others as you would be treated. And for me, as I've said before in my past of a few of these podcasts, is that I'm a Christian. That is my personal religious view. And within that life, I have definitely been blessed as far as following that set of moral codes, like the Ten Commandments. Basically, do not steal, do not murder, all these different things, treat your neighbor kindly, all these different things. Basically, if it promotes life, it is good. If it promotes death, it is evil. That is the very vague way for me to put...
And that has completely changed you, because
exactly.
You weren't always like that. In fact, when you were living with us, you know, he lived with Nathan lived with us for about 10 months. 9, 10 months.
Yeah, 9, 10 months.
And had a dark period.
Yeah, exactly.
So why don't you describe what happened after you went into this dark period?
Well, I'll describe a little bit, and I'll have Dana cover whatever I don't cover.
Okay.
Because for me, during that time, as you can expect with a schizophrenic, they're not going to be fully aware of a lot of what's coming out of their mouth and what's going on. But basically what happened with me in my life during that time period... And this is something that I'll also do a side topic for in a bit, is that I had been watching certain TV series on Netflix, online, and I had been watching some of them, and some of them were pretty dark. When I first went up there, I was full of hope, and I was definitely enthusiastic for Christ and helping and all these different things, but then I chose to watch this one TV series, and just like many schizophrenics,
shows the power of what you watch.
Exactly, what you watch, what you listen to, what you read, what you look at, all these different things. Your eyes, your ears, and your mouth are all filters of your soul. They're all filters of what's inside of your personality and what's going to come out, especially as a schizophrenic. And so for me, watching this series, I found myself, and I didn't catch it till way later, till it was already too late. I didn't catch it either. Yeah, exactly. And the fact is, it just got gradually darker and darker and darker in my mood as I watched the series every night before I went to bed and everything. My mind pondered it and thought of it.
And your medicines weren't right either.
And my medicines were off. I was on the wrong medication.
There were some spiritual things that were going on that we won't get into.
Yeah, exactly.
All of those. Lots of factors.
Lots of factors led it. And then I had a break. I had a schizophrenic breakdown. And I won't go into too many details.
No, don't.
But, yeah. But definitely, I said a lot of things I should not have said.
Yep.
Specifically to my counselor. And as a result, it made a lot of things tense with certain, family circles.
And it was tense here, and I said, he was lying around on the couch doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm done. He needs to find another place. So at that point, we found him, or his parents did, found him an assisted living place.
Yeah.
Right.
Called Brookside, here in Colorado Springs. And Brookside is a good topic to lock on, is that children with schizophrenia, when they get to a certain point in parents' homes and stuff, it's not going to happen every time like this, of course, but this is how it happened in my case, is that my parents got to a point, even before I came to Colorado, where they put me in a group home. As soon as I turned 18, my father looked at me and he told me that I couldn't live there anymore because my attitude and my disrespect and my behavior and fighting with my brother, all these different things were becoming so stressful and such an occurring thing every day that my parents couldn't take it anymore. And they've tried countless times, and I can say and confirm, as my own view, they did do everything they possibly could to turn me around in a loving way without ever yelling at me, without ever hitting me, without any kind of abuse at all. They took a very loving and gentle approach to help turn my actions around and to help me become a better person on my own. But the fact of the matter is, I was the kind of person, like many schizophrenics and other young people are in their teens and late teens, is that they have to experience things the hard way to learn how to fix what's wrong. And so what happened is I was placed in a group home in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it was in the better part of town. And the thing is, I was with two people that lived there as my roommates, and they were the worst people you could ever imagine. They were horrible individuals.
Were they autistic themselves?
One of them was autistic, and the other one was extremely bipolar. One was an ex-drug dealer, and the other one, I won't get into exactly what he was. But it was just nothing good. And so, basically, I lived there for about a year and a half. It was the worst experience of my life, but it was also the key starting point of turning my life around. The reason why, and this is something that a lot of parents need to hear, is that children who are not willing to turn around when you give them a loving approach and things like that, sometimes the only thing that will help is you need to give them a little tough love. You need to put them, yes, in a safe environment that you can kind of monitor, kind of be there if they need you, and stuff like that, but you will need to put them out there on their own in a place like a group home or an assisted living home, something like that, where they can learn what it's like to be on their own, but still be in a safe environment with staff and other people who can help look after them and help them learn how to get on their feet. Now, the thing is, with me, like I said, it was the worst experience of my life because of the people I was living with, and I come from a very successful family who had very little trouble when it came to finances. So that being said, I took it for granted. I had almost everything a young guy could ever want in his life. And when I left home, it was very hard for me because I had frankly been spoiled. And because I took all of that gift that God had presented in my family and I took it for granted. And so when I became on my own, and when I actually got out and was on my own, then my body literally started going into shock, because I was not used to having a small bedroom with a really rustic bed and horrible furniture and little house, dirty kitchen, and sharing it with two horrible people. And so, that being said, it was very, very hard. But at the same time, I also got into Medicaid. I got Medicaid to deal with my medications and help fund for my medical care. And then I also got SSI, which was the leading factor that got me out of the group home and into my own apartment room at an apartment in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, the thing is, once I moved into my apartment, the year and a half or so that I spent in that group home kept reflecting on my mind. And I kept trying to deny a lot of things that I had learned, because I was still kind of bitter at my family. I was bitter at my parents for kicking me out and making me get on my own, all this different stuff and everything. And while I was at the apartment, I fell into deep, deep depression. Again, because I was on my own, I had very little knowledge of how to survive on my own. I had very, very limited money, almost no funding, and it was just very, very hard. And so after a year or two of being in the apartment I stayed at, Dana actually called me, and we actually discussed me.
No, actually, your mother arranged for you to come up and visit us
birthday. That's right, yeah.
And I knew that you were seriously depressed, and as soon as you came up here, you became like a different person, and it was,
exactly.
We have a connection. We've always had a connection.
Exactly.
Since you were born. So it just seemed natural for you to live here.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we
exactly.
had a lot of fun together, like
yeah.
doing these podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we're definitely kindred spirits.
Yeah, definitely.
But it got a little bit much.
Yeah, exactly.
The following spring.
Not
so, which
quite
led
the
you,
right time.
Right. And I already have a special needs child.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so anyway, so you ended up at Brookside.
Yeah, I ended up at Brookside here in Colorado Springs after I moved out from Dana's. And at Brookside is when it really started taking effect to turn my life around. What happened at Brookside was that I was surrounded with people that were way worse than I was. I was the highest functioning patient at Brookside.
And there were autistic people.
There were
at Brookside.
Many autistic people, uh-huh. Many schizophrenic, bipolar, manic depressant, paranoid yeah. schizophrenic. There were days where I'd literally walk down the hall and there'd be one or two people literally talking to the wall or scraping the doors or, you know, things you'd imagine in like an asylum movie. Things like that were going on. And there was one guy that would walk around and start yelling at people for no reason. Really horrible things and very, frankly, scary, threatening things as
yeah,
well.
I bet.
And what happened is while I was there, for the majority of the time that I was there, I would lie in my room at night, and I'd lie in my bed, and I would just think, just all night, until I would fall asleep. And normally, for me, that would take about 4 hours, because it takes a long time for me to fall asleep. But every night that I would think about it, I made a good habit of trying to find 10 things that I was thankful for in my life, regardless of where I was ending up, regardless of where I live, regardless of what happened in my past. What could I be thankful for that I had already, what I had had in my life before all of this? And I can tell you right now, there are many nights that I came up with more than 10. And the list just went on and on and on all the blessings that I could honestly say were in my life. Now, if you're the kind of person who's listening to this and you've had a really hard life and you've lived in a very low-income lifestyle and this stuff and you feel like you haven't had a lot of these benefits that I had, then I want to say to you that no matter who you are, there's always something you can be thankful for. Always. No
and
matter
a parent,
who you are.
That's a good thing to remind their kids.
Exactly.
Help them through that.
Exactly. As a parent of anyone who has schizophrenia or autism or anything like that, one of the key things that gets any child through any hardship about who they are or what may be affecting them or whatever is to always be encouraging. Always, every day, do it every day. Don't take a break of a day. Always, every day, remind them that you love them and remind them that they are your child and that you are proud of them no matter what else the world thinks. No matter what anyone else thinks, you are proud of them and that in your eyes, they're your child. You love them and you want to build them up and that you will never stop. You know, that is the main thing, is that as a parent, hearing those words for someone with schizophrenia or autism, all that, is very beneficial because they're used to people ridiculing them. They're used to people rejecting them. The worst thing you can ever do as a parent to anyone with schizophrenia or autism is to give them criticism or to say something negative about them. That is
as a person.
Yeah, as a person. And that's one of the worst things you can do because they are so sensitive, me included, they are so sensitive to any kind of criticism. They don't mean to be. It just happens naturally as part of what's going on with them. And the thing is, when you say something that's really mean or something that's very critical or something like that, what it does is it goes into a very deep place in their heart where they already feel like an outsider in the world. And it's almost like the straw that broke the camel's back, basically. It's adding the straw onto the camel's back every single time you say something like that. It's literally building the stress in major ways. It's even more than their peers making fun of them in some ways because it comes from their own family. The family of these people, of me included, of schizophrenics or autism or anything like that, family is where shelter needs to be. Family is where their safe haven is. And if you take that away from them, then what hope do they have? You are a major part of their hope. The family, the support, the parents, even the siblings, you are the hope for your brother, for your sister, for your mother, or your father, or your uncle, whatever it is. The family circle is one of the most important parts of the salvation for the hope of the person with schizophrenia or autism, because without family backup, without that encouragement from family, it's just a million times harder for the schizophrenic or autism person to function in life because, you know, what do you do if you feel like the rest of the world already rejects you and then out of nowhere your family starts rejecting you at the same time? It's almost as if you have no place in the world. It's as if you have nowhere that you belong in the world. And that's the feeling that you get as a schizophrenic or autism when someone in your family criticizes you or says something negative about you as a person. And that's why you gotta be very careful about criticizing and things like that, is because they take it so personally, and they don't mean to take it personally. They don't mean to be sensitive or oversensitive. They don't mean to get over angry or defensive about things. The fact of the matter is, it's just part of who they are, not as a person, as their identity, but as a person of how they function, is that criticism and things like that, just they don't mix at all. So, that being said, like I said, wrapping all that up into one thing is that, first key, don't criticize. Instead, build up the people that you love. Build up your children. So,
okay, yeah. We're going to go to a commercial break. All right. And I'll be right back and we'll continue this conversation.
Autism. We hear about it more and more. To families and individuals, it can be devastatingly hard. What can we do to help? And if you are affected by autism, how can you find hope? Hi, I'm Dana Susan Beasley, and I am the publisher of an upcoming book, Angels in the Midst, Rising Above Autism and Asperger's. I understand about autism as my son and husband have Asperger's. It is challenging. But I also know that God can work in the midst of these challenges. God can use ordinary people to bring hope to those facing this challenge. But I need your help. I need your stories, your artwork, poetry, and videos, especially from autistic children. I need sponsors, and I am looking for worthy organizations to donate a portion of the proceeds to. Come along with me on this journey. Join me and get involved at riseaboveautistic.com. Again, riseaboveautistic.com. There is hope, there is life, and there is love, even and especially in the midst of autism.
So we're back. This is Dana Susan Beasley with Autism, God's Bright Kids, and I'm sorry if I sound a bit congested. I am congested with a cold. So, wonderful, wonderful. So, anyway, before I get back to Nathan, I just want to thank my sponsors, and I am very grateful for them. Talk about gratefulness. I'm definitely grateful for them. So, please go to my website, riseaboveautistic.com, and check out these sponsors. And the first one that I want to mention is Kelly Thomason with Plexus, and you can find out all about that there at riseaboveautistic.com. And then Clorinda Olensager with Young Living Essential Oils, and then Annie Espelson with Ashy's Gift Series, and you'll definitely want to check that out. It's a wonderful book series that she has written. And so, also, I want to give a shout-out. I have this vision to do this anthology, and it's called Angels in the Midst, Rising Above Autism and Asperger's. And what it is, it's a collection of stories about and by people with autism. And it's stories to encourage and come alongside families who are dealing with this challenge. So I'm looking for those, that artwork, stories, like I said, videos, podcasts even, because part of it can be digital. But even more than that, if you've listened to my podcast at all, you know that I'm very busy and that I have many irons in the fire. I am like, I suppose I don't have one obsession. I'm like, well, and I don't know that you do either, Nathan. You like, you know, you have all these ideas and they're all involve creativity.
Yeah, here. Exactly.
So it's all about creativity. But I need somebody to take over this project as a project manager and sales of ads. So please get in touch with me. You can see on the slideshow how to contact me. Best thing probably is to like my Facebook page, Autism God's Bright Kids. And that, you know, I'm very erratic. I'm not very consistent about much, which I need to work on. Which I discovered in a marriage conference this weekend. So, if you want to know if I'm having the show, you need to go there and look, because I definitely have some more plans about interviewing some folks. I met with a friend of mine, works for a nonprofit that helps kids get off of SSI and onto having their own vocation. That's what she does. So I would love to be able to, and she said maybe not her, but somebody in that office to interview. That would be wonderful. So, let's see, keep my housekeeping notes. Did I mention everything? Sorry, I'm rambling. But, and also, I have designed a series or a line of autism awareness products, and that's actually using art by my son. So go to Angel Arts Boutique and angelartsboutique.com and check that out. Okay, so I'm going to come back to Nathan. And he's looking funny. There's never a dull moment with him here. In fact, Sam, before he came, said, "Oh boy, here comes chaos."
There's never a dull moment with him anywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
I know my life isn't dull.
Yeah.
With him.
Yeah, right.
I try not to, but it just keeps happening.
Yeah, it's just natural. So we talked about, you know, being in the assisted living place and how it kind of, it jolted you, right?
Into, yeah.
Okay, you've got to make a change. You could either be like this for the rest of your life and barely subsist, or you could do something. So to kind of describe that process.
Yeah, definitely. No, the main thing that is really driving me right now and that Dana is really helping me with is, again, that past expectation of things being given to me or handed to me without a whole lot of work involved. And the thing is, she's amazing help because she's helping me get back into the mode where I need to know that, especially when we go back down to Albuquerque and prepare possibly for moving up here after the lease ends on our apartment, is that she's given me some milestones that I need to complete before I move up. And some of those milestones, you know, I can see all I have to do is do it. It's not going to be too hard. It's just a matter of applying myself, saying, this is what I want, and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to lie on the couch and play video games. I'm not going to waste my time sleeping all day. No, I'm going to be up every day trying to achieve the things that I need to achieve to get stable and get on my feet in Colorado and maybe find a part-time job and things like that. And she's also helping me learn more skills about, like, podcasting and things like that and just different ways I can get myself out there and make a living as an entrepreneur myself. And then on top of that, my wife definitely is a major support. And she is definitely not just a supporter, but a contributor, because she is amazing at makeup. She's amazing at crafts. And she's amazing at all kinds of things I could go on and on and on about. And frankly, that in itself is a huge encouragement, knowing that as entrepreneurs, all we have to do is just get our nose to the grindstone and we will succeed. It's just a matter of going out and doing what you need to do and succeeding and getting past that state of just expecting life to give you things or just being numb to life because you have nothing to do. Because the fact of the matter is, everyone has something to do. They just don't have a plan to know what it is.
Right. And so by barely the problem with SSI, I mean, there's good things about it, but there are some cons, and that is barely subsisting and being, you're caught in this poverty trap.
Exactly.
And it doesn't encourage you to reach for new heights.
Exactly.
To what the old fashioned word back in the 70s was called self-actualization.
Exactly. And the main thing that is a huge disadvantage about having SSI, exactly is what you just said, is that you get used to having that paycheck every week or month.
For no work.
And for no work. And here's the thing. You don't even get that much. We get SSI, Medicaid, and food stamps.
It's barely poverty level.
And we're barely scraping by. Barely.
It is poverty level.
We live in a small two-bedroom apartment. And we are barely able to buy enough food every week to survive on. We are literally having to buy mostly canned food and ramen and stuff like that to survive because we only get $197 a month
for
food.
Well, they continue to cut our food stamps.
Yeah, every now and again they cut our food stamps and they take away part of what we were supposed to get. Originally, we started with $230-some. And now we're down to $197 for 1 month. Now, for most of you, you might hear $197. Well, no, you got more than enough to buy food for a month. And, you know, honestly, no. You're kind of wrong on that. We know by pure experience that $197 in Albuquerque, especially where we live, is nowhere near enough money to buy enough food for a month. Now, if you eat very unhealthy and if you don't care about your body or your health, then sure, you know, you can go to fast food, you can buy different things like that, and you'll be good for a month, no problem.
But the thing is, the point is, I mean, the money, the amount doesn't matter. The point is that it encourages you to be unhealthy
exactly.
in so many ways.
Exactly. Because you get used
loving on
you get used to that whole thing where you eat out or you just expect money to come and then you just go and get something to eat the moment the money comes on your card. But that is not living. That is not living at all. Living is striving and thriving. That is what true living is when you are striving in life and you are thriving while doing so, and especially if you're doing it in the glory of God and in God's will.
And you're pursuing God's calling.
Exactly.
Because I told you, and the whole point of this radio show is that every child of God, every child, every person has a calling, they have a gift, they have a talent, they have a purpose in life, and that life is to impact others with the gifts God gave them. So,
exactly.
So the reason why we've gone through this story, it doesn't... Whoa, the dog is going crazy. Sorry about that. Is because our hope as parents or those who are going through this challenge, if you are autistic yourself, is to help you realize that you need to get a bigger vision for your life. And beyond, you know, maybe the SSI is necessary. Fine, well, and good. But have a vision beyond that. And
definitely not a long-term situation with SSI.
Right, right, right. Find that talent, that calling, that passion, and nurture that. And also call them out. I mean, like I've done with you. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, there's going to be boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I keep reminding you, no, you're not going to ask anybody for this money. You're going to earn it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you said, you know, it's uncomfortable to you to be told that, but it's helping you.
Exactly. Because the thing that's uncomfortable to me is subconsciously I've been used to a certain lifestyle where things are given to me. And the thing is, I found out it's not even that that makes me uncomfortable. The thing that makes me uncomfortable is the fear of failure. It's the fear of not doing good enough, especially since I'm married now. One of my major fears and frustrations in my life, especially in the past year or so, that's been making me really cranky at times, is that I fear not being able to give my wife and my possible future children the life that they deserve and giving them the best that I can give them. And it's a major, major thing that I've never had to worry about before. And now that I'm married, it's like, you know, it's a major fear of failing my wife, of failing my kids, of failing my family and everything else. And it's just, it's so terrifying to me. But then at the same time, I have to stop and remember that every ounce of that fear is completely replaced and more by the promise of a better life if I just grit my teeth and do it. If I just go in and do it and make my way in the world. And I just say, hey, I'm afraid. Acknowledge that you're afraid and say, even though I'm afraid, I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to do something, even if it may be outside my comfort zone. And I'm going to basically say, no, I deny you fear, and I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to stop worrying and stop fearing and stop being uncomfortable and being uncertain about the future.
Well, you may feel the fear, but do it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You may still be fearful, but... I guess my point is basically just overcome whatever is trying to hold you back and just say, yes, the fear is there.
Push
through it. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
If you have a child that's going through that, help them, encourage them through that. And it's not about perfect action. It's really about imperfect action. In fact, I used to be like this, so tripped up by perfectionism. And so if it wasn't going to be perfect, then I wasn't even going to try. And that's a really big pitfall that people fall into. And not just schizophrenics feel this fear. You know, well, mine was fear of rejection rather than fear of failure. But,
yeah.
But that kind of fear can really stop a person from achieving their life goals.
Yeah, exactly.
Paralyzing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope, you know... That encourages people. That's why we're here, right?
Yeah,
is,
exactly.
If one person can be helped by the story I've been through, then it was all worth it. So, so I hope that helps bring encouragement. I know that, you know, schizophrenia is different in many ways than autism, but I really value your perspective and hope that can help others.
Yeah, I encourage all of you who are listening, who are interested in all this. Definitely go out and do your own research. Go online, ask a friend, go to the library. Libraries are an amazing source of information. And even then, even easier, the internet. You know, you've got Google right there.
Go to the library on the internet.
Exactly. Exactly. Go to the library on the internet. Look up what schizophrenic and autism is and look up every detail. Learn your symptoms. Learn what your children may be going through. And better yet, find someone who has those things but has successfully overcome their obstacles and have learned to live and thrive with them. Just like the scenario with fitness trainers. You know, if you're a guy, you're lanky or overweight, either way, you go to a gym, you want to get a six-pack, okay? You're not going to go to the overweight guy eating a sandwich and say, hey, how do I get a six-pack? You're going to go to the guy who's over there busting out weights and lifting, 300 pounds, and you're going to go to him and be like, hey, how did you get fit? How did you do it? And then chances are, 9 out of 10 times, the guy who's lifting weights is going to be able to look at you directly in the eye and tell you exactly what he did to have a healthy body, to have a successful life. It's the same thing with mental illness. If you go to someone...
Yeah, it's the same thing with mental illness, but it's also, we're talking the disability of...
Yeah.
The challenge, disorder.
Yeah, exactly.
Spectrum disorder.
Exactly.
The official word, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right.
And anything in life.
Right.
You know, it goes to anything in life. Is that if you really want to be successful, ask people who are successful and ask people who are in the process of striving to be successful. Don't ask the person who's just sitting at home doing nothing. You know, you don't want to ask someone who doesn't know what they're doing or knows their material or stuff like that. But, you know, people who are actually genuinely doing everything they can to understand things and better themselves and have gotten somewhere, you know, those are the people you really want to ask.
Right, and as far as the autism world, I told you about Danny Rady and AspergerExperts.com, just to shout out about them, because one of the things that happens is that their theory anyway, or Danny's theory anyway, is that Asperger people, and probably schizophrenia, anybody goes into defense mode, and they shut down.
Yeah.
And so the first thing that you have to do is get them out of defense mode.
Exactly.
So I can't wait, you know, to... I've listened to it once, but you know, now I gotta read it or listen to it again and really practice it, because that to me is one of the next steps with Sam, is to get him out of defense mode. And he's admitted to me that he's in it. He defaults to the computer,
exactly.
Or lying in his bed with his phone.
Yeah, baby, what's that motto that we have?
Which one?
Baby steps.
Oh yes, baby
steps.
That's what I was gonna say earlier.
That's right. That's correct.
What I was gonna say earlier. That's what we always take is baby steps.
That's right.
You know, it's like that old saying, how do you eat an elephant?
Exactly.
One bite at a time.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. And, you know, we might be back next week and figure out some other topic. We just like to talk, don't we?
Exactly. We love talking.
All right. Well, and with that, I'm going to say thank you for listening to today's episode. And be sure to tune in next Monday at 4:30 Mountain Standard Time, 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. Together, we will reach new heights in our lives and beyond, because there is hope, there is life, there is love, even in the midst of autism or schizophrenia. Blessings to you. This is Dana Susan Beasley signing off.